Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Treasures of Our Faith, reflections from priests in our listening area on topics of their choosing. And now, Treasures of Our Faith.
Welcome to Treasures of Our Faith. My name is Father David Schalk. I'm the pastor at Christ the King Church in Columbus. Let us begin today with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you open our minds and our hearts to your grace, your mercy, and your love. Open our minds and hearts to the teaching of your church. Help us to know and embrace that teaching. Help us to grow in our knowledge of your church and our knowledge of you. We make this prayer to you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it is a pleasure to address you today on this series, Treasures of Our Faith. This is a series here at St. Gabriel and Catholic Radio, where we focus on various issues, various topics of the faith. And our topic today will be the Hispanic presence and Hispanic ministry in the United States and in the Diocese of Columbus. Actually, that's the focus on the whole series. Today, we're just on part one of four parts, and our theme today is going to be focused on immigration. What does the church teach on immigration? The church surely does have a teaching on immigration, this social justice issue. And then near the end of the talk today, I'm going to focus in on our own context here in the United States. What does our church in the United States teach about all of the undocumented immigrants here in our nation? What do we do about the presence of so many undocumented immigrants in the United States today? So that is the roadmap, more or less. Let us begin our conversation, our discussion on immigration. Where should we begin? I think Old Testament would be a great place to begin our discussion on immigration. You know, the Jews, the Israelites had a very keen sense of their identity as immigrants. They indeed were immigrants in the land of Egypt. There are three pertinent texts from the Old Testament, from the Pentateuch, that I'd like to highlight now, if you will. The first is from Exodus. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9 says, "You shall not oppress an alien. You well know how it feels to be an alien, since you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt." The Lord exhorting his people not to oppress an alien, not to oppress an immigrant. Later on in scriptures, in Leviticus chapter 19, 33 to 34, we read, "You shall treat the stranger who resides with you no differently than the natives born among you. Have the same love for him as for yourself, for you too were once strangers in the land of Egypt." Again, the Lord commanding his people not only to care for the immigrant, but to love the immigrant. We're called to, of course, love our neighbor as ourselves, and that includes the stranger, the immigrant among us. And thirdly, we have a verse from Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. We read, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who has no favorites, accepts no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and befriends the alien, feeding and clothing him. So you too must befriend the alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt." The Lord wants us to have a special place in our hearts for the immigrant. Why would the Lord command us to have a special place in our hearts for immigrants, to treat them with compassion, with love? Well, perhaps it's because the Lord himself was an immigrant. We know that our Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, he was born into the Holy Family. That same Holy Family had to flee Bethlehem, flee their native land, to go to Egypt to escape persecution. Had they remained, they would have suffered. They would have died under the persecution of King Herod. So isn't it interesting to consider the fact that the Holy Family was a migrant family? They understood exactly what it meant to live and to work in a foreign land. So what does it mean to live and to work in a foreign land? Well, typically this means that immigrants, they tend to live on the margins of society. They face a wide variety of hardships, be it enculturation or economic struggles, discrimination, a variety of a lack of opportunities, can we say. These are the hardships typically immigrants face when they arrive in a foreign land. So we cannot ignore that biblical exhortation to befriend the alien. It's our responsibility to serve Christ in the immigrant, to see Christ in the immigrant. We're called to pay special attention to those who are strangers among us. Perhaps we can turn to Matthew 25. We hear the words, "Whatsoever you do to the least of my people, you do unto me." So we, as a church, as the body of Christ, attend to the pastoral care, the educational care of the immigrant. We reach out with social services to try and lift them up, help them overcome those wide variety of hardships that they face. This is, at the end of the day, a question of human dignity. We care for our neighbor who is made in the image and likeness of God, regardless of where they come from. So essentially, the church's teaching is this. We're called to welcome immigrants as brothers and sisters in our churches, in our communities. We're called to be open to the immigrant, to look to foster a sense of solidarity with the immigrant, to truly receive Christ himself in the immigrant. If you're just joining in, this is Treasures of Our Faith. My name is Father David Schalk, pastor of Christ the King Church in Columbus. We're in the series on the Hispanic presence, Hispanic ministry in the United States, in the Diocese of Columbus. Today, on this first of four parts, we're focusing in on the church's teaching on immigration. And speaking of an eagerness to receive Christ in the immigrant, when it comes to immigrants here in the United States, many, many, many immigrants are from Latin America. They are Hispanic. And we know that that means that many, many of them are Catholic. This makes hospitality a little bit easier. There is already a bond between ourselves and these Latin American immigrants. We have the same baptism. We have the same faith. We worship the same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're united in one church under the same Holy Father, who happens to be Hispanic. Pope Francis, of course, is from Argentina. So we're united already. And that should give us a sense of comfortability. Like I say, making hospitality a little bit easier. In the back of our mind, we can also remember that the church is going to benefit from the presence of immigrants here in the United States. There is a mutual enrichment that is possible if genuine solidarity is achieved. We value the culture and the language and the spiritual heritage that immigrants bring to our country. We're able to appreciate that and value that, hold that up, treasure that. You know, when the immigrant comes, there will be a certain sense of assimilation, easy for me to say. There will be a sense of assimilation, but this does not mean homogenization. We don't want everyone to be the same. For example, there's not one language in which we pray to God or one expression of our Catholic faith. There are many languages in which people pray to God. There are many expressions of our Catholic faith, and we recognize that, we value that, we hold that up. So essentially what I'm saying is that there can indeed be a unity in diversity which edifies all. Surely not easy to achieve, but absolutely worthwhile. So we're painting in broad brushstrokes here. Church's teaching on immigration. Yes, we want to welcome, befriend, love the immigrant, recognizing that this is good for him, this is good for us. There is a sense of solidarity, unity that we're striving for our mutual well-being. So let's continue talking about immigration. Let's focus perhaps a little bit on the question of undocumented immigration here in the United States. As I mentioned earlier, a touchy subject, but we have to talk about it. We have to discuss it. What do we say to the presence of so many undocumented immigrants here in the United States? If, as a church, we welcome the immigrant, how do we address this particular issue? So let's start with an encyclical, Pacem in Terris. This was written by Pope John the 23rd, now, of course, St. John the 23rd, in 1963. I'm going to quote from paragraph 25. He writes, "Every human being has the right to freedom of movement and of residence within the confines of his own state, when there are just reasons in favor of it. He must be permitted to emigrate to other countries and take up residence there. The fact that he is a citizen of a particular state does not deprive him of membership in the human family, nor of citizenship in that universal society, the common worldwide fellowship of men." So what is St. John the 23rd saying to us? Yes, there is indeed a right to immigrate when there are just reasons in favor of it. Now, we also know that the church teaches the need for national sovereignty. Okay, we are indeed permitted as nations to establish borders. So the church in no way condones illegal immigration. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is paragraph 2241. "Political authorities, for the sake of the common good for which they are responsible, may make the exercise of the right to immigrate subject to various juridical conditions, especially with regard to the immigrant's duties toward their country of adoption. Immigrants are obliged to respect with gratitude the material and spiritual heritage of the country that receives them, to obey its laws, and to assist in carrying civic burdens." There it is, the church's very precise, concise teaching on nations having the right to enact their own laws and thereby control their borders. Why does the church teach us? Because the church recognizes that this is indeed for the common good, the good of all people of every nation. However, national sovereignty does not mean turning a blind eye to the needs of other nations, to other peoples. In fact, the church teaches that economically strong nations should have generous immigration policies. Again, this is from the same paragraph, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2241. We read, "The more prosperous nations are obliged, to the extent that they are able, to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood which he cannot find in his country of origin. Once again, let me read that again. The more prosperous nations like the United States of America are obliged, to the extent that they are able, to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood which he cannot find in his country of origin. In so many words, countries like the U.S. should facilitate migrant flow. Let me say that you're listening to Treasures of Our Faith. My name is Father David Schock. I'm the pastor of Christ the King Church in Columbus. We have been discussing the Hispanic presence, Hispanic ministry in the United States. This is the series of this Treasures of Our Faith. The first of these four parts is on immigration. We are speaking on the church's teaching on immigration, and specifically at this point, the church's teaching on undocumented immigrants here in the United States. So the bishops of this country, the USCCB, argues that the current laws governing immigration are not adequate. There are not enough visas for immigrants. There are industries, the agricultural industry, there are in the service industry, in construction, these particular industries desire to hire immigrants. And there are indeed immigrants who desire to work in the United States, but this process of connecting employer, these industries with these employees, the immigrants, is overly burdensome. What we have now are approximately 11 million undocumented immigrants in this country. Perhaps that's a low estimate. I've heard as many as 13 million undocumented immigrants in this country. And many of them have built up equity in this land. They've woven themselves into the fabric of our communities. We know that children born here in the United States are citizens of the United States, yet many of their parents, their immigrant parents, are not. We think, of course, of the natural right for families to remain united. How does this happen? How do we keep families together? How do we respect the fact that many of these immigrants have equity in the United States? They have helped to build up our society, our culture. What are we to do? Well, the bishops of this country are urging a pathway to citizenship for these undocumented immigrants. Now, how do we forge a pathway to citizenship? Well, surely this is an important point. This is an important point. The bishops of this country believe that there will indeed be some sort of punitive consequences on this pathway to citizenship. So for these undocumented immigrants who already reside here in the United States, that means on the way to citizenship, there will be some sort of consequence like fines or taxes or mandating further language studying, a place at the back of the immigration line. This point is important, this idea of a punitive consequence for being here undocumented. There's a difference here between paving a pathway to citizenship with punitive consequences and amnesty. Amnesty is granting a benefit without anything in return. Amnesty is not the solution to the problem of undocumented immigrants, according to the bishops of the United States. No, there must be a pathway to citizenship opened up, but that will indeed include punitive consequences. Now, as we're talking about this and these millions of undocumented immigrants in our country, the proper Christian attitude, the Catholic attitude, requires more than a modicum of compassion. We realize that these immigrants came to this country in search of work because that opportunity was not available in their countries of origin. We have to have an eye to the human family and the well-being of individuals, the well-being of families, not just the well-being of our nation. Can I refer you to the World Day of Migrant and Refugees? Back in 1914, Pope Pius X instituted this World Day of Migrant and Refugees. I say 1914. That means that this year we mark the 100th anniversary of this celebration. Pope Francis wrote a letter marking this anniversary, commemorating this World Day of Migrant and Refugees. And he very beautifully said this: migrants and refugees are not pawns on the chessboard of humanity. They are children, women, and men who leave or who are forced to leave their homes for various reasons, who share a legitimate desire for knowing and having, but above all, for being more. This is the attitude. This is the sentiment that we all should have, the sentiment that Pope Francis has in his heart, realizing that, yes, we're talking about human beings when we're talking about undocumented immigrants. And as I mentioned earlier, it is very difficult to achieve a unity in diversity, but it is altogether worthwhile. It is not going to be easy to come up with comprehensive immigration reform that opens up a pathway to citizenship for these undocumented immigrants, but it is altogether worthwhile as we look into the eyes of these children, these women and men who have come to this country looking for opportunities they did not have in their country of origin. You know, speaking of those, that lack of opportunity for those families to sustain themselves in their countries of origin, you know, the bishops also teach that we should indeed, as a nation, look to improve, to the extent that we're able, look to improve the economic, political, social conditions in those countries. But in the meantime, what do we do? Well, we understand that the Lord commands us to welcome the immigrant, to love the immigrant, to befriend the immigrant, to foster that sense of solidarity. It is not easy, but it is what the Lord commands of us. We're called to see the face of Christ in the immigrant, knowing that Christ himself was an immigrant. Again, let me quote from Pope Francis' letter on this World Day of Migrant and Refugees. He says, "Every human being is a child of God. He or she bears the image of Christ. We ourselves need to see, and then to enable others to see, that migrants and refugees do not only represent a problem to be solved, but our brothers and sisters to be welcomed, respected, and loved. They are an occasion that Providence gives us to help build a more just society, a more perfect democracy, a more united country, a more fraternal world, and a more open and evangelical Christian community. Migration can offer possibilities for a new evangelization, open vistas for the growth of a new humanity foreshadowed in the Paschal mystery, a humanity for which every foreign country is a homeland, and every homeland is a foreign country." These words coming to us from Pope Francis: every homeland is a foreign country. This means that we're all strangers. We're all pilgrims on this earth, seeking, desiring our true homeland, which is in heaven. And as we journey together with the immigrant, we journey with him as brothers and sisters. So let us keep in mind that the immigrant is our brother, is our sister. We join with him, with her. We join with those immigrant families, welcoming them and seeking truly just and compassionate pathways to citizenship for undocumented immigrants in this nation. We conclude today with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you are the Father of the entire human race. You have made us all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, your Son. Help us to follow him faithfully. Help us to recognize him in our neighbor, especially in our neighbor who is the immigrant. Lord, we ask that you pour forth your wisdom upon all lawmakers in this land. Help them to enact comprehensive immigration reform. May we all be agents in making a just society. May we all be agents in building up your kingdom here on earth, here in the United States of America. Father, we ask your blessing upon us all, upon our immigrant brothers and sisters, this day and always. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Treasures of Our Faith is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Treasures of Our Faith and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of your faithful, grant that
the Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. The birth control pill has been available for over 50 years. When it was released to market in 1960, it was thought to be a miracle drug that would free women's lives and improve family life. Prior to the pill, there were 5 sexually transmitted diseases. Today, there are more than 50. Nearly 20 million new cases of STDs are reported in the United States every year, of which half infect 15 to 24-year-olds. To find out more, visit cathmed.org.